Aleph, chapter 101. And we have finished all of the chapters that were written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and we are now back to David HaMelech. Now, this particular kapitel is only 8 verses long, and most of the Mefarshim say that David HaMelech wrote this when he was getting ready to ask Hashem to let him build the Beis HaMikdash. And it sort of sums up the philosophy of David HaMelech's rule over Klal Yisrael. You know, we've been seeing David HaMelech in various facets, but David HaMelech is the king. As the king, he has a ruling philosophy. And it also, in this particular kapitel, starts off, instead of Mizmor LeDavid, it starts off LeDavid Mizmor. Now, there's a big difference. Mizmor LeDavid means, which is what we usually see, that David wrote this chapter, wrote this kapitel, with the intent of encouraging and giving chizuk both to himself and to all of Klal Yisrael. When it says LeDavid Mizmor, that means when LeDavid is first, that means that David had already reached a great state of happiness and simcha over serving Hashem, and he wrote this kapitel to share that with everyone else. So when it says Mizmor LeDavid, he's writing for himself also. When it says LeDavid Mizmor, it means he's writing to share with everyone else.
Say that again. Could you
mix it? It's okay. Mizmor LeDavid, which is what it usually says, means David's writing for everyone, including himself, to encourage everyone, including himself. Where when it says LeDavid Mizmor, when David's name is first, it means that he already was in a, what's the word I'm looking for, in a state of spiritual accomplishment, and he's writing this for everyone else, sharing what he already feels. So he's not writing it for his own encouragement, because LeDavid Mizmor means he's sharing it with everyone else. Mizmor LeDavid means that he's sharing it with everyone else and himself. LeDavid Mizmor. So let's jump right in. So this is what he wrote about his rule over Klal Yisrael before he was preparing to ask Hashem to let him build the Beis HaMikdash. And he starts off in verse 1, Pasuk Aleph, saying, LeDavid Mizmor, Chesed u'mishpat ashira, lecha Hashem azameru. I will sing of your chesed, your kindness, u'mishpat, and your judgment. To you, Hashem, I will sing. So, chesed u'mishpat are two very different things. Chesed is when Hashem does you a kindness, and mishpat is when Hashem judges you according to what you technically deserve. So mishpat is usually associated in this verse with not what we would consider to be good things.
Where is that here?
So chesed u'mishpat, chesed, Hashem did all these wonderful things for us. U'mishpat, and he also did some things that I know are proper judgments from Hashem, but I'm not too happy with them. And in fact, this particular chapter from Tehillim is the basis in the Talmud of a lot of discussion about the brachas, the blessings that one makes when something good happens, quote unquote, and when something bad happens. So we have a bracha that Atov ve'ameti. If something good happens to a person, they make a bracha that Hashem is the Tov and the Meitiv, he's the good and the bringer of good. And if Rachmana Litzlan, something bad happens, we say Dayan HaEmes. When a person is Nifter, we say Baruch Dayan HaEmes. Right? That's Hashem's Mishpat. So we say a bracha, even though it seems bad to us, we make a bracha on it. And Chazal tell us that a person has to be Mevarech, to bless al hatov ve'al hara, on the good things and the bad things that Hashem sends him, you have to make a bracha.
And they get that from this pasuk.
And they get that from this pasuk and from another pasuk in this kapitel we're going to see. Now, I understand why a person makes a bracha over something good. Right? You're expressing your recognition and happiness to Hashem that you are, let's say you marry off a child, or you have a baby, or you get married yourself, or even a material thing. You bought a house. I understand that. Hashem, believe me, I've purchased a home, and I know that without many nisim from Hashem, that would be impossible. So I understand why a person makes a bracha on that. Why does a person make a bracha on something bad?
You don't want it to get worse.
Okay. You certainly don't want it to get worse. But we're saying, oh, thank you so much. Blessed are you, Hashem, who just did this mishpat to us, this thing that seems so terrible.
Yeah, and no worse.
No worse? Okay.
This is his mishpat or whatever, then this is what it was supposed to be.
Yes. From Hashem's standpoint, it's all good. It's only good and bad from our viewpoints, because we don't really know the whole picture. When a person is nifter, a person passes away, the person, 99.99% of people, their neshama is going to get a big promotion. Right? They're going to be with Hashem and Shemayim. That's a big promotion. Yet we're sad. Right? And we mourn the person because we feel sad. Hashem made people to realize that their time on this world is limited. And when a person is nifter, we make a bracha dayana emes, because it's a sad thing for us. To Hashem, it's all good. So we have to make a bracha. But we can't make a bracha that says Hashem did good, because we don't really see the good there. So instead, we make a bracha dayana emes. That Hashem is, that we recognize that, yes, even though I don't quite figure out how this works, we know that it's for the good. To me, it seems like a sad thing, but nonetheless, I'm sure somehow or other it works out. So we still make a bracha, whether it's chesed or whether it's mishpat. Right? Whether it seems like a good thing or whether it seems like a harsh thing, we still make a bracha. We change the wording to reflect how we see things. But of course, from Hashem, everything is good. Hashem does not do anything in the world that is not for good. A little hard to see that sometimes. In the next verse, it says, Askila b'derech tamim. I'll concern myself with the ways of perfection. Masai tavo elai. When will it come to me? Eschalek b'sam levavi. I'll walk with the purity of my heart, the care of Besi, and the innocence of my heart within my house. So it's a little bit of a long pasuk. Let's read from the beginning. I shall concern myself with the ways of integrity, and it shall come to me, and I'll walk with the innocence of my heart within my house. So David HaMelech, the pasuk seems to be a riddle here. But if we pick it apart bit by bit, I'll concern myself with the ways of integrity. Integrity is actually a pretty good translation here. Tamim is really a word meaning wholeness or simplistic perfection. But integrity is what David HaMelech is striving for. David HaMelech wants to run his life and his kingdom in the same way, with integrity. He wants to make sure that everything that's done by him personally and by him as the Melech of all of the Jewish people is done with absolute perfect integrity.
And honesty?
Honesty, and even more than honesty. Integrity, being faithful to whatever principles one follows, and never deviating from those. Integrity is not an easy thing. It requires one to be honest with oneself. And he's saying that we'll talk about it in a little bit more, I'm going to make sure that I walk in the ways of integrity. Now, you don't usually walk in integrity. You could say, I'm going to think, I'm going to act. But walking with integrity doesn't really make sense. I mean, you walk down the street, you don't walk with integrity or without integrity. You do what you do. You conduct your business with integrity. You speak with integrity. You do all kinds of things with integrity. But walking with integrity? path of integrity. So what he's saying is that a person doesn't always feel that they can do the right thing. A person doesn't always have the right feelings, the right kavana, the right attitude. But nonetheless, if you consistently perform the actions that Hashem wants you to, you will come to have the right feelings. So in other words, you can look at it one of two ways. Once I have the right feelings, I'll be able to do the actions that Hashem wants. Or you can look at it that if I do the actions that Hashem wants, even if I'm really thinking about going to the ball game, eventually doing those actions that Hashem wants will lead me to have the proper thoughts. So David HaMelech is saying, I'm going to walk in the ways of integrity. I'm going to do the actions that Hashem expects of me, even if at the time I don't necessarily feel the proper feelings or the proper motivations. You know, when you're a kid, just a male kid in yeshiva, and you tell your Rebbe, I don't really feel like I have the right feelings and kavana to put on tefillin today. You know, I'm too distracted. I'm thinking about the ball game. So the Rebbe will tell you, well, you know what? The only way you learn to feel the proper things for putting on tefillin is to put them on. If you waited until you felt the perfect Shabbos atmosphere in Ruach in order to keep Shabbos, you'd be waiting your whole life. You do the things that Hashem says, and they lead you to what Hashem wants you to feel. So says David HaMelech, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk that way. My actions, my physical actions, are going to be whatever I think Hashem wants me to do, even if I'm not particularly feeling all that spiritually motivated. Nonetheless, I'm going to do those actions. And he's even going to do it, they see, within his house. So there are a lot of people, and David HaMelech often mentions this, who look like they have a lot of integrity and honesty when they're walking in the street, but in their homes, they act differently. So David HaMelech says, I'm going to be walking around and I'm going to do everything that I think Hashem wants me to do, whether I feel like it or not, and I'm even going to do that in the privacy of my home where no one's looking. Now, lest that seem like a little thing, if we all think about that for a moment, that's actually a pretty big thing. There's a famous story in the Talmud that when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the compiler of the Mishnah, was about to pass away, his Talmidim came and asked him for a bracha. So he said, I give you a bracha that you should fear Hashem as much as you fear each other. What kind of bracha was that, they said? Give us a bracha that we're all going to become, you know, gedolim and great, the best learners since Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you mean, fear these guys over here? He said, well, when you know people are watching you, you act a certain way. My bracha is you should have the strength that when no one's watching you, you act the same way. So David HaMelech says, even in my house, nobody's looking, I'm going to try and do the same thing. Even if I don't really feel like it. It's been a long day of kinging, doing whatever, you know, he has to do as the melech. And nobody's looking. Nobody's going to care. Who cares if he slops off one tefillah in his entire... No, even when no one's looking, I'm going to try and do what Hashem wants, even when I really don't feel like it. And it goes on in verse 3 to say, Lo ashis leneged eina. And don't put any gross things in front of my eyes, or disgusting things. As I say to him, so nasi lo yidbak bi. I don't like doing bad things. It doesn't cling to me. So he's asking Hashem not to put any stumbling blocks before him. And he doesn't want it to cling to him, even in his thoughts. You know, a lot of times a person sees something and it affects their thoughts long after they're done seeing that particular item. You know, a lot of times you go into stores, for example, and you see a magazine rack. And you see magazines, unbelievable magazines. So you immediately turn away. How long did you see it? Maybe a half a second. But it lasts a lot longer than that. So David HaMelech is saying, not only don't show me any things that are going to cause me to stumble, don't let any thoughts linger with me. Help me not think about whatever bad things I saw. Right? Help me not let thoughts not to linger. And Levav Ikesh Yasur Mimeni Ra Lo Eda. A bad heart turns away from me. I know no evil. So a bad heart, it says here, a perverse heart turns away from me. I would say rather than turn away from me, I would call it push away from me or pull away from me. What he's saying is, one of the ways I'm going to help this plan of mine to do everything that Hashem wants with integrity is that I'm not going to hang around any people that would be a bad influence on me. If a person has a bad heart, turn him away from me. So I would translate this more, if a bad heart, please turn that away from me. I think that would be a better way of saying the verse. Please, I'm going to have to come into contact with all kinds of people as the king. People that are bad influence on me, keep them away. Keep them away from me. I don't want to know evil. I don't want to think of evil. I don't want to... Why? Don't put this in front of me. I'm doing my actions here that I'm going to do every day. I'm going to try and do what Hashem wants. Don't put evil people there. And you know what? Don't even let me think of doing evil. He's asking Hashem for help in accomplishing his goal. Don't let me think about bad things. And don't let bad people who are going to influence me come around me. Now, this idea of being influenced by people around you is a constant refrain all the way back to the Talmudic times and all the way up until our times from the greatest Balei Musar. Right? And as we know, the famous mission that says, Al tischaber, don't join up and be friends with a Russia, with a wicked person. A person is influenced by who they hang around with. There's no question about that. The Rambam says something very interesting, is if you can't find a place to live without any bad influence people, better you should go out in the desert and live by yourself. And the Rambam writes extensively that everything around a person influences them. He says, la halacha, that it's an actual halacha, you cannot live in a city if there's even one church in the city. Now, we don't really observe this halacha in our times because there'd be no place to live. And it's also true that I think the Rambam lived mostly in Muslim areas. But nonetheless, this is not a class on practical halacha. But the point is he said, halacha lamaisa, as the gadol hador, I'm telling you, if there's one church in the city, you're not allowed to live in it. That would mean, on the other side, 22-hour ride by horse, you're not allowed to live in that city. There's a lot of a bad influence on you, just the fact that it exists there. This is, help me, Hashem. It's going to be difficult for me in my role as the king not to come in contact with people who are bad influence and not to think about doing bad things. The temptations of being a king are tremendous. Help me with that. And he goes on in verse 5 to say, Miloshni baseser raehu oisa adzmi. Givei einaim urchav levav oso lo uchav. People who slander, say bad things about their neighbor in secret, I want them cut down. And one whose eyes are raised up high, which is an idiom for someone who's arrogant, and his heart is expansive, I cannot tolerate him. Now David HaMelech is describing how he's going to run his court. Now, what were courts of monarchs like, especially in the old days? It would make the most dramatic soap opera on television today look tame. First of all, if you were the king, you were lucky if nobody was trying to poison you on any given day. But just the court and palace intrigues and politics and evil schemes were such that you couldn't write a story about it. It seems too exaggerated. We get a little glimpse of it with Ahasuerus and Purim. Just the littlest glimpse of what goes on in a court. The king has to spend much of his time in the court making sure that, you know, he wakes up the next morning. Let alone everybody vying for power and authority from the king. Says David HaMelech, my court is going to be different. In my court, people who talk bad about other people, they'll have no part in my court. I cut them down. If their eyes are raised high and their heart's expansive, they're arrogant and they want to grab more power, I won't tolerate them. They're gone. I'm not going to have such people in my court. And also in his court, he's going to do this. He's going to say in the next, in Pasuk Vav, Einai b'nemne eretz. My eyes will be on the faithful of the land, l'sheves imadi, and they'll sit with me. Holech b'derech tamim, hu yishar seini. The person who goes in the way of innocence, he will serve me. So the faithful of the land is an idiomatic way of David HaMelech saying people who keep their own counsel and keep their mouths shut. We know David HaMelech suffered from tremendous Lashon Hara and tremendous people always trying to say things against him. The people he's going to have in his court are people who know how to be quiet and go about their business without the need to blab everything they can possibly think of about everybody. And the people that will serve him, those are going to be the people who go in the way of innocence. Lo yeshev bekerav beisi, who won't dwell within my house, osei remia dover shkarim, lo yikon leneged einai. A person who practices deceit is not going to be in my house. Someone who speaks lies will not be established before my eyes. Nobody who has a deceitful character is going to be hired in David HaMelech's court. Well, that's a pretty high bar. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of functionaries in a government. I mean, it's nice. We like to think of David HaMelech as sitting on his throne with, you know, Sefer Tehillim. Right? Imagine more a White House. Thousands of people coming and going, ministers, department heads, people wanting an audience with the king. It's a huge operation. I'm not going to have any people who have a deceitful character in my operation. Anybody who lies, has a deceitful character, who can't keep their own counsel, they're out. This is going to be a new way of running a kingdom. Never done before in the world until now. And finally it says, L'bekarim atzmis kol rishe aretz, I will cut down all the wicked of the earth, lahakris me'ir Hashem, kol po'alei aven, to cut down from the city of Hashem all the workers of violence. There'll be no tolerance for injustice in my kingdom. So we see why this is a nice prelude to asking Hashem to let him build the Beis HaMikdash. There's a new sheriff in town, and things are going to be run a new way from now on. No more courts like all the other nations have, and monarchs like all the other nations have. We got a new way of doing things here. Everybody who comes to my court has got to have a sterling character. They don't talk out of turn. They're not deceitful. They don't lie. They have no tolerance for injustice. And I'm going to lead them by showing them that we're going to do every day that which Hashem wants us to do, whether we feel like it or not. And that will lead us to the proper way of serving Hashem. This is revolutionary. And people made fun. Oh my gosh, what a crazy bunch of Jewish people over there. Did you know the king doesn't even take any extra treasure for himself? He must be a little, you know, mentally... I mean, who wouldn't take extra treasure and loot the people? Yet by the time the Beis HaMikdash was built and Shlomo HaMelech was king, all the nations of the world envied the Jews and came to pay their tribute and respect and considered the Jewish kingdom a model way for a country to run, even if they themselves weren't quite up to that task. Because of the word integrity, the best description of integrity is that a person's inside is like their outside. In Talmudic language, we call that tocho kiboro, that a person's inside is like their outside. Meaning, one does not have pretenses. You know, I'm sure that there are people in the world that put on an appearance of being very devout, very pious people, but in the privacy of their own home are not so. And vice versa. And this is something interesting to think about. There are a lot of people that don't put up that great of an appearance. And you think, But in the privacy of their house, they're tremendously devout, terrific people. Because they don't have integrity. Not having integrity can be meaning that you're bad or that you're good. But you don't have integrity, you're not inside, you're not the same as you act. You act one way, but inside you're really another way. That's called not having integrity. Now, if inside you're bad and you're acting good, you're trying to get integrity by acting good, and hopefully your inside will change to be good also. But a person whose actions don't match their insides is a person without integrity. That's how the old world used to run before David and Mal. There was no such thing as an integrity. The justice was whimsical. Oh, it's Tuesday after 5? Yeah, okay, off with your head. There was no such thing as integrity in a system of government. There were individuals with integrity, but a government with integrity was something unheard of. And David HaMelech wants to do that. We're going to have integrity. When people come and see we try and serve Hashem, we do it whether the door is open or the door is closed. And we never give up on it. And a lot of times you see Jewish people, and based on their dress, you assume they're affiliated with a certain group of people. It's not necessarily true. So people dress all kinds of different ways and doesn't necessarily mean anything. But it's not integrity. To put on one kind of appearance outside and another inside is not having integrity. Yes?
But it seems like it's opposite, because in part of the pasuk it says, okay, if you don't feel all the way to daven, just daven anyway and do the action and you should eventually feel it.
Yes.
But here he's saying integrity, you should, if you're going to do something, then you should feel it the right way. So it seems like
okay, good question. So integrity does not come instantly or easily. It's something that you have to work on and acquire. And the way you work on it and acquire it is to try and get your inside and outside together by starting off by doing actions that are good that you want to do. And then hopefully you sort of schlep your inside along with you.
Of course, it's the same. He's saying in the beginning, he's saying, even if I don't feel it the right way, I'm going to do it. And then he's saying, but I'm only going to accept the people who really feel and do the same thing.
Yes. Yeah. So I think, though, that if you came to David HaMelech and you said, well, inside I'm still a little shocked, but I'm trying to work on having integrity, he would go along with that. But you're right. He's making it sound like a simple matter. He's making it sound like we'll just line up and give everybody an integrity test, and, you know, if you don't quite feel everything, you're out. It's not as simple as that. But David HaMelech is saying it strongly because he feels strongly about the importance of this. Does that answer your question? But yes, a person has to, the way you get integrity is you decide, well, am I going to make my outside match my inside or my inside match my outside? So let's start by doing good deeds, and then hopefully my inside will slep along too when I don't feel like it. But I can assure you, if you asked every man who has never missed davening Betzibur in his entire life, whether every time he went, he just was consumed with the great feeling of desire to daven to Hashem, or were there ever any cases where, like, he dragged himself out of the car and wasn't even sure, you know, what time it was. So, you know, I tried, but it's not. So that integrity, he's going in the right direction there. A perfect match in integrity is a tzaddik, who does all good things externally and feels all the proper kavanas internally is a tzaddik. So, only speaking for myself, I'm not holding on that level. So therefore, the journey towards that integrity is the journey towards becoming a tzaddik. A tzaddik, when we say a tzaddik is perfect, and he's shalem, and he's complete, that's what we mean. When you see a tzaddik doing a tremendous act of chesed, he feels it inside us. He's motivated to do it to serve Hashem. There's a famous story about the Hasidic Rebbe who told his Talmidim that you make a bracha in order to eat an apple. I eat an apple in order to make a bracha to Hashem. So the inside out is a goal that you're going to achieve long term. So you're right. David HaMelech makes it sound here a bit like it's a black and white thing. But it's not. And it's something that you have to strive for. But you can't have too big of a disparity. You know, and you can't. Integrity means not doing things for the sake of, let me think of a better phrase to that. Not doing things for the sake of how, I'm going to go back to the thought just a second. I'm going to find just the right words so I don't get myself too far over the line here. I'll tell you an interesting vort about integrity. This is a somewhat controversial vort. A lot of people are unsure about it, but nonetheless, Rabbi Sander Shlita heard it from his Rebbeim. And the word is like this. We have a lot of technology today that makes our life a lot easier. We don't want to turn in dishwashers and washing machines and or iPods and computers and we don't even want to turn in things that we don't think of technology. You know, in the old days, to build a house, there was no such thing as a prefab house where they show up with the design and build you a house. Building a house was a major endeavor. The design and the brickwork and, you know, you couldn't just call up the builders and build a house. Right? But technology, even things that we don't think of as technology, right? The industrial, everything after the Industrial Revolution has made our lives a lot easier. There's no question about that. I think we could all agree with that. Yet, we hear all the time, and it's true, Chazal tell us, that the farther away we are from the giving of the Torah, the lower spiritual level we are. Yet we seem to get more and more physical benefits, and life becomes easier and easier, but if we're becoming lower and lower, why shouldn't they have had the computers in Moshe Rabbeinu's time to make his life easier, and we should be out beating clothes on the rocks? Right? I mean, if we're spiritually lower, why do we have this easy technology life? Let us go out and, you know, take our low spiritual selves and beat some clothes on the rocks. Let David HaMelech have technology. Let him have a dishwasher in the palace. Look, I don't want to put anybody out of a job in the palace, but let him have, power tools. Let David HaMelech have power tools. They're building the palace over there. You don't think an electric drill would have helped? So we got the electric drill and David HaMelech doesn't. That doesn't seem to make any sense. So he said that originally, in the times of the Chumash, it was somewhat common to have a vodi, to have servants, really slaves. The problem is that in English, in America, the word slave has a bad connotation, which is not what the Torah considers to be slavery. A slave in the Torah has to be treated equally as well or better than the master. In fact, the Talmud tells us if you acquire a slave, you've really acquired a master. Because the way you have to treat your slaves, you might as well have done the work yourself by the time you're done pampering your slaves. Right? If there's only one comfy pillow in the house, you have to give it to the slave. You can't do anything that denigrates the slave. So let's call it indentured servants. But really, the Torah calls it slaves, but in the United States, it has a bad connotation of, you know, slavery from the United States. So people had indentured servants who worked for them. And then, after a certain point, you don't really have too much slavery anymore. But animals did a lot of work. Animals plowed the field, they pulled the stuff into, you know, you took your goods into the marketplace with the horses and the cart. And now we don't have that. Now we have machines. So said Rabbi Sender's Rebbe, you know why? Because originally, men had more integrity. And since they had more integrity, it was okay for another man to serve them. They could have slaves. They had integrity. You knew where you stood. Their insides were like their outsides, for good or bad. And therefore, because they had this integrity, now it doesn't mean they were all tzaddikim, but they had integrity. If they were bad, they were bad. If they were good, they were good. They tried. You knew exactly where you stood. It was okay to have slaves. Then as time went on and we fell a little bit further, we didn't have so much integrity. We didn't merit to have slaves. But animals would still serve us. Because now in our times, the only thing that will serve us is a piece of machinery. Because men today have so little integrity and are so deceitful in their appearances and how they communicate with others, that even an animal won't serve them. So the reason that we have so much technology is not because we're so great, but because we're so pathetic, that even an animal won't serve us. Now, I'm not sure I understand completely the Zvort. I mean, it's saying Nebuchadnezzar, a Russia, destroyed the base of Mikdash. He had integrity. I don't know exactly how to elaborate this, and there are a lot of questions, and it's probably a whole shear in itself. But there's a point there, and that is that people used to have integrity. Integrity is something other than all the other midos. Integrity is not how good you are. Integrity is not this. There's a separate midah, a separate attribute that people can have called integrity. Does the person do what he says? If he does, he has integrity. How many people do you know that if they tell you, oh, I'm going to blank, you never will have a second thought about whether it's done or not? So, I think if we're honest, we know a lot of, not that many people would we have that much confidence in. Why? Because we don't trust people's integrity. People say things, they do things, it doesn't match up with their inside. It's a difficult meter to define. A person can be a tremendous Baal Tzedakah, a person can be a tremendous Baal Chesed, and still have to work on integrity, because in the privacy of their own home, they don't exhibit that Chesed or Baal Tzedakah. It's the public display. Now, it could be they're working on it, as Stumsky so accurately said, or it could be not. So having integrity is a separate midah. And sometimes you see people that dress or act or comport themselves in a way that leads you to believe perhaps they're affiliated with group X, but really they're not, or they're affiliated with group Y. And they'll tell you, listen, don't judge a book by its cover. It doesn't really matter how I dress. What's important is what's inside, and all of that's true, but you also have to have integrity. And integrity means you don't project a false image because you think that what's inside doesn't matter. That's the only thing that matters. David HaMelech is saying, we're going to run things now with integrity. When a person comes to my court and I tell them that such and such is the din and such is going to happen, it happens. They go to sleep at night knowing that it's going to happen. They know they're going to get a fair shake. And not only that, it's not going to be an act. When we go home at night, my ministers and myself, we're all going to try and do the same thing. And by that, we're going to make a Kiddush Hashem. And now Hashem, David says, I'd like to ask you about the Beis HaMikdash. Of all the things that David HaMelech has talked about in 101 chapters, and there's been a lot of different midas, the one he thought most important to prepare, or as the kids would say today, buttering up Hashem before asking him about building the Beis HaMikdash, what's the one thing he chose? Did he bring up all the chesed that he did? Did he bring up all the suffering that he had at the hands of Shaul? Did he bring up the fact that Hashem promised him he could be king? No, he brought up one thing. I'm going to run a fair and just place. Because Hashem loves justice. And now I'm going to ask you about the Beis HaMikdash. Now we know that David HaMelech will be turned down to building the Beis HaMikdash, but that's a different subject. This is what he feels is preparatory. There's not going to be any lying, any intentional lying. And I guess, Mrs. Domsky, that's another big difference. The intentionalness, that's probably not a word, the intentionalness versus not. Someone who's trying and fails. You know, we call someone orthodox if they try and keep all the mitzvahs. How many people succeed at every single mitzvah they try? But nonetheless, if a person is trying to make their outside actions equal their inside feelings, so David HaMelech would consider them to be a person of integrity or striving to be a person of integrity. However, a person who is a liar or deceitful or speaks Lashon Hara or can't keep his mouth shut, David HaMelech doesn't consider such a person to have integrity. He's going to have no part in his court. So when we read this kapitel, the key word to keep in mind is that integrity. That if you don't feel it inside, keep doing the actions and try and make yourself feel it inside. But what you do in your home should be the same as what you do outside of your home. When you read this kapitel, remember Rebbe's bracha to his Talmidim. Whenever I read this kapitel, I remember Rebbe saying that I want you to fear Hashem as much as you fear other people. Because boy, does that hit home. Right? Fear Hashem as much as you fear other people. Hard lesson to give over to kids, too. You know, as soon as nobody's looking, well, home, I guess my children, perhaps not your children, but my children, when no one's looking, behave differently than when we're watching them. And you know, the only way they get over that is if they see that parents behave the same when no one's looking as they do when they're in public. If they're in public and they say, don't lie, and then when the phone rings and it's someone they don't want to talk to, they tell the children, say I'm not here. That seems like a minor thing, doesn't it? You know, I don't want to talk to that guy again. He's called 16 times. We have this guy who's trying to sell us a newspaper subscription to Investors Business Daily. And this guy's got to be the most persistent salesman ever. And he's a really nice guy. And you get him on the phone, and I'm talking to him, how's it going? And he's telling me, you know, and his kids are this, and summer his kids are playing baseball, and this and that. And I tell him about, you know, my little thing, you know, and he's trying to sell us his newspaper. I'm like, I said, I don't want your newspaper. Right? So he keeps calling. And then the caller ID says Investors Business Daily. So we know it's this guy calling again to try to sell us his newspaper. So what's the temptation? Kids, tell him mommy's not here. Oh. So mommy out in public says you have to be truthful and at home is a liar. Tati says tell the salesman that I'll be back in an hour. Ah, that's funny. I heard Tati telling me you're not supposed to lie. As David HaMelech, fear other people as much as you fear Hashem and conduct yourself in your house the same way that you conduct yourself outside, which is to try and have integrity and force yourself to do the actions that Hashem wants you to do. Question?
It's really good. It's allowed to carry is what?
Which verse?
8. First word.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Be times they translated? I don't know what that word means.
Be times. It shouldn't be together.
Let's say all the times. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the word be times in English means. I don't know if there is such a word or they just.
All the times.
So would the show should be like focus?
Yes. Yes.
It's the morning.
Yes. So the literal translation would be like all of them, but you know, all the mornings, be all the time. I don't know why they translated the times. Any other questions?